Happy Mother's Day. Hopefully when you got up this morning, ladies, there were some nice cards waiting for you with expressive appreciation and love. Or maybe it was breakfast and hot coffee, words of affection. Or maybe that's going to happen today at noon. Right? That is going to happen today, right, children? Husbands? You're going to be able to thank your mom and your spouse for all of the hard work that she's done, for all the meals she's cooked, the vacuuming, for the laundry, for all the the miles driven. In short, you're going to thank her and wish her well on this Mother's Day. But ladies, tonight, the husband will probably look over and say, "What are we going to eat tonight?" And the kids will be messing up the house, and it'll be back to your responsibilities again. Happy Mother's Day. You're taken for granted so often, aren't you? We know it. You know it. So it's nice to have an occasion where we reflect on how much we appreciate you and how much we love you, how much we owe you. Amen? That's what we want to do today. So let's begin in prayer. Lord, this is your day. We honor you above all. But part of the message that we want to bring today is of mothers who are devoted to you, who cherish you, who love you, and what they mean to families in the Lord. So Lord, help us today as we sing and worship you. We also challenge our mothers to live the Christian life in their homes and to be a blessing to their families. Remind them, Lord, that they are loved and forgiven. And help us as families to let them know that they are loved, cherished, and admired. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I'm kind of like a minister friend of mine that had a new grandbaby. I've had a new grandbaby. And his wife was always excited about wanting to go when the child was born in the hospital. And he just didn't get the excitement and the urge. And he wondered, what is wrong with me? Well, finally the day came for the child to be born. And he and his wife were driving to the hospital. And he shared with her, she was just all excited, and he felt guilty because he wasn't as excited. But as he got closer and closer, he was beginning to warm up to the occasion. And he said, "Honey, I just haven't had the excitement that you've had over the birth of our grandchild. But now I'm beginning to get excited." And she said, "Dear, that's all right. I understand. You're not a mom." And there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? You know, I have to admit, through what moms go through, there is just so much they do. In fact, we had our second grandchild that was born, and we went up to visit. And the little one, all they do is, you know, sleep and eat and mess their pants. They have to be chained all the time. But there's those few moments their eyes are open, and you get to see them and experience them. And your daughter-in-law, my daughter-in-law, is up all hours of the night, you know, nursing every hour or two. And so Elaine was able to help by getting up with the other one and so forth. But I realize that there is so much that a young mother has to do. You've had to do that. You've experienced that, ladies. And I just have to admit, us men, we're just simply outclassed in those areas. And you know it. Us men know it, don't we? We're just outclassed by a mother's love, by a mother's care. And I think that's why we need to honor you this day, because you are so special. But at the same time, with all of these things, it is my privilege to exhort you to be a Christian mom, to bring discipleship to your life and to the life of your family. I don't want this just to be a sentimental occasion today. It needs to be that for sure. But some message that you can take home today. And I'm thinking that one of the greatest things that you could do for your family is to be a prayer warrior. So the day's lesson is on the power of a mother's prayer. When we look at so many moms in the New Testament, we could look at Mary and how she said, "I want to do the Lord's will." We could look at others who were servants engaging in ministry with many of the apostles and church leaders. Those that came to Jesus and sat at his feet. Those like Anna that went to the temple and prayed day and night, fasting before the Lord. The widow ladies who set their hope on God continually day and night. But for young mothers who raise children, there is an example found in the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, and a woman that's not highly known. But I want to read part of this story. I want us to look in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It's the life of Hannah. Chapter 2, verse 1, and there's a little phrase. It simply says, "Then Hannah prayed." And I want to start there with that because I want you at the end of this lesson to be able to put your name there. So instead of saying, "And Hannah prayed," I hope I can challenge you to put your name there. "And Elaine prayed," "and Jane prayed," "and Linda prayed," and you get the point? When you read this prayer found in chapter 2, you find this is high praise to God. Here's a woman who's offering God such praise. She delights in your deliverance, verse 1. "There is no God like our God who is a rock, God who knows us." And I'm not going to go through all that, but it's just high praise. And it's exciting. It's a time to rejoice. But I think this prayer is so wonderful because there were times before that when it wasn't a time to rejoice. That's what we need to look back on. First of all, we need to see Hannah prayed in chapter 1 in times of bitterness. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the story. I'm going to read verse 10 of chapter 1. And I'm going to talk about her story a little bit. It says here in verse 10, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." Now, if you remember from Bible class stories, there's this man, Elkanah, and about his claim to fame is he had two wives, one Hannah and one Peninnah. And Peninnah had all the children, all the heritage of the family is going through her. Motherhood is so important to a woman, especially in Old Testament days. And Hannah has no children. Now, in this story, the husband is trying to comfort her, saying, "Look, aren't I more important to you than 10 children? And he gives her the double portion, trying to appease her and let her know how special she is and how loved she is. But you see, there is just something in the soul of this woman that says, "I need to have children. This is what God has prepared me for." You know, the New Testament even says that women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and sobriety. And I think that's talking about God's given responsibility toward them in whatever role they have. It's wrapped up in child-rearing with faith and love. And the gravity of childbearing is very important to a mom. They went to Shiloh every year to sacrifice before the Lord. And I want you to notice verse 3 says, "Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship." So this is not just a small thing. This is a yearly thing. I don't know how long this lasted. I don't have any chronological details. But I want us to see, first of all, that Hannah's prayer for many, many years came out of a bitter heart. Or as the NIV says, a bitter soul. And I think this lesson today is a challenge, not just for moms, but it's a challenge for all of us. Because many times in life, we think that life should be without bitterness. It's a time to always rejoice, and that just isn't so, is it? I tell you, I really do think we do a disservice when we come to the table and someone says, "Let's just clear our minds now. Leave all of our problems at the door. Let's forget about all those things and let's come to the table." And maybe you've even said that. You know, that's just not true. Really, when you come to worship, the Lord invites you to bring your problems to Him. And I think so many times we have bitterness of heart and bitterness of soul. And the Lord is able to handle that, isn't He? The Bible says that we should cast all of our cares and anxieties upon Him. He cares for us. And so if we come to church and we don't act like we're real, that we don't have any problems, we're just avoiding what the Lord says. The scripture that Tom said, "Come to me all you that labor and are weary." Does that get any moms? Those who are like Hannah that have tiredness of soul and bitterness of soul, you bring that to the Lord. Is He able to handle it? He knows quite well. The Lord doesn't want us to fake our religion or to fake our faith as if we have no problems or no bitterness. I dare say that there's some moms at some point in your life, maybe even now, that you've had bitterness in your heart. And probably toward your children or your husband. Isn't that true? Of course that's vice versa. And dad, you'll have your day too. We'll talk about you. But isn't that true? You may have had your children to say to you at one day, I hate you. And you may have felt like turning around and said, I hate you. And maybe you've even done that. But doesn't that express our feelings sometimes? That we're put out and we're discouraged. Maybe we've had a fight with some of the school teachers, or we've been perplexed at how to deal with our children, with their relationships. And we wish they'd act more grown up and less like kids. Or they're fighting and feuding, or you've had problems with your husband, and you have that bitterness of heart. Hey, listen, it happens. You talk to any church leader, and I guarantee you, church leaders know about bitterness. They've had to deal with relationships in the church. Ministers have bitterness because of something that's happened. We've all had bitterness. Talk to my wife sometime, and she'll talk about how we've lost 4 children. We know about bitterness. And the Lord says, don't try to fake your religion as always being a happy thing. Bring your cares before the Lord. If you're tired and burdened, come to Jesus and find the rest that He gives. But understand this, it won't happen quickly. It won't happen any given Sunday, will it? Year after year, Hannah prayed. And I think her bitterness was ongoing. I think a lot of our problems are ongoing, aren't they? Why do we need to pray then? Because we need to be able to control our bitterness. Isn't that true? If bitterness comes out all the time toward our children or our husbands, what good are we? And we know at times that when we had that bitterness, for whatever it might be, that we're not going to be able to function well. I think Hannah is probably chewing on her husband all the time. Why can't I have kids? Why don't you give me kids? I'm just no good and not feeling good. The Bible tells us in the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, that we should be very careful lest we miss the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness grow up among us. Now, did you hear that verse? If the root of bitterness gets a plant in our heart and it's allowed to grow and to fester, we will miss entirely what God has planned for us, the rest that Jesus invites us to share. And we know that we've done that many times. The rest has gone out the window. And so we need to pray. We need to bring our problems before the Lord. We need to constantly be aware of them. And so Hannah prays. Year after year. It's something the Bible tells us to do. Don't leave behind prayer. Don't try to fake it. And then eventually her prayers are heard. Notice verse 19 and 20. As she prays, eventually the Lord remembers. Verse 19. As Elkanah lay with his wife Hannah, the Lord remembered her. And the next verse says, she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. Now, all the years of her life, she had a certain bitterness that she had to work with. The kind of bitterness that we are very much aware of that can happen in our life. And she dealt with it by bringing that bitterness to the Lord. She didn't try to hide it. She had to deal with it. She had to live life like that. There's no use of us trying to say that our religion brings total satisfaction to our life. It doesn't. We have to deal with the problems, the hurts, the misfortunes of our lives and our own sins. And the fact is, in our lives this very day, you probably wish that you weren't taken for granted, that there's things that you're bitter about, and you need to give that to the Lord. You need to pray about it. Lord, help me get a hold of this. And then remember, the Lord knows how to bless us, how to heal us, how to give us what we need. And so when the Lord remembers, what came out of this? The very thing that she wanted. But it didn't happen over a week, a month, or even years. It happened because she continued in faithful prayer. And she had a son whose name was Samuel. And every time they mention his name, the Lord has heard. The meaning of that name. The Lord has heard. So what comes out of this is a vow that she had been praying. Lord, if you will give me this son, I will devote him to you. In other words, he's going to go into the ministry. And You can read the rest of this story, how she presents him to the priest down here in chapter 1, verse 27, when she says to the priest, Eli, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. You see, now she can rejoice because she has worked through the bitterness of heart, the years of turmoil and disappointment. And finally, at last, she's able to say, looking back on it, something good has happened out of all of this. Now, we would like a life that's filled with comfort. No problems, no bitterness at all, wouldn't we? It doesn't happen. Life doesn't work that way. But if we're faithful, if we pray, if we work through it, and the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, then there is the prayer of victory. And that's where chapter 2 comes in. That's where Samuel is presented to the priest. And I think every time he goes in to minister into the temple, here's a young mom that's praying for her son. Look at what he's doing. How proud she must be. Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but Samuel grew up to become sort of the George Washington of the people of Israel, the father of the country. And I think that mom didn't stop praying for him all the days of her life. Don't you think so? How many times could Samuel have stood up and said, "I have a mom who has prayed for me before I was born and who is still praying for me"? I think it's only because out of that sense of desperation and commitment to the Lord in prayer that a Samuel could grow forth. I think probably many of your children today, they don't need a life of ease, but they need parents who are struggling in faith and love and prayer for them. They need prayer in moments of bitterness that you can work through that. And they can say, "I have parents," or this day, Mama's Day, "I have a mom who is praying for me." I had a very godly grandmother and a godly mother. I can't ever say that I've ever heard either one of them pray. Isn't that a shame? But I believe they prayed for me. But here in this story, we have this lady that stands up in the middle of her family and before a priest and opens her mouth. In fact, in this scripture, it says she prays in her heart. And the priest even thought she was drunk because of the way she was praying and the way it captivated her. I'm going to ask today if moms would like to see yourselves as praying over your children. And oftentimes what we do is ask our children to come and our husbands to come and pray over the moms. I'd like to ask the moms if you'd like to participate in praying over your families and commit your life to being like Hannah. Maybe you'll pray every day. I was talking to Jane and she said, "My mom prayed for me every day of her life." And I think probably many of you had parents that do that. But I think today, maybe you won't feel comfortable doing it right here. Just a moment, I'm gonna ask moms to do that. I'm gonna ask you to have a prayer for a few moments. But maybe today over the dinner meal, maybe you'll say to the husband, "I'd like to pray." Or maybe this afternoon you'd like to say it, gather around the family, "I'd like to have a prayer over my family." That's what I'm asking you to do. Don't just consider this a day of privilege and blessing, but a day of victory like Hannah, in which you can say, "The Lord has blessed me with this husband, the father of my children. The Lord has blessed me with these children." So to kind of get you on that way, if you feel comfortable with this, I'd like to ask moms maybe just to locate your children where they are. Maybe this will embarrass them, but I think they will remember that a mom prayed. And maybe you'd like to stand by your son or daughter, and maybe your husband, and just vocalize a prayer. Maybe in your heart, like Hannah, or maybe right where you are right now, maybe you'd feel comfortable verbalizing that so he can hear. And just bless your children and bless your husband in the name of the Lord. And I asked Tommy just to put some music on, so I'd like everybody else to be kind of prayerful and thoughtful about this. But moms, wherever you are, if you feel good about this, find your children now. pray over them and let them know that you're going to be a praying mom for them like Hannah. So let's play that music and let's be prayerful. Remember this message today, and Hannah prayed, and moms today, I've committed you to pray over your families. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Let's sing an invitation if we need to help in coming to the Lord, or we can minister to you.